DJW Mobile.
PA Mobile. That really worked good, dropping that pin there.
What time is it? There's plenty of flying time left after 4 o'clock.
We could actually fly pretty low light until about 7:30.
My goal, and didn't have to spend the whole day out there. That was good. It's good to see Ali and Jim, too.
I got a feeling that Jim may just go ahead and join down there, because you could tell by the look on his face he was pretty well fed up.
Kevin, or have you seen him over at Campavilla? How's he doing?
To be able to get in touch with Kevin, I don't have his number. And to be honest, Dave, I haven't been back over there.
Roster. Somebody was putting together a roster, and they asked me if I wanted one, and I said yeah, and they gave me the last one. So I think I've got one. I'll see if there's numbers on there.
I'll tell you how we could do it. We could just invite him down with me and you and Ollie and Jim, because he's in pretty good with Jim and Ollie.
Well, there you go. That's what we need to do. You got the sun at your back. I got the sun at my face.
The sun at my left right now, and I'm fixing to turn right onto Mount Lebanon Church, and that will put the sun at my back.
I haven't wrapped around that much. If you'd have gone out Jordan Road the other way, you'd have hit Mount Lebanon there, too.
Left there at the four-way stop, that put me on Jug Factory.
I'm on Jug Factory now, getting ready to get on Bomar.
Right, right. And see, I just turned right onto Mount Lebanon. Yeah, Mount Lebanon's, oh, I mean, that was a drunk horse that they laid that path out with.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that curvy, but I guess it is.
My bad is Jug Factory. I tell you what, there's spots of Jug Factory, buddy, that, man, I tell you what, the Dragon's Tail hadn't got anything on it.
Have you been through the Dragon's Tail?
Yeah. My wife and I used to have a Mini Countryman S all-wheel drive turbo.
Foot peg after going through the Dragon's Tail. That's how tight those turns are. When I was laying it down, it took a foot peg off.
Yeah, I can see that on your bike, but yeah, I can't do that with the Harley. I mean, I can really lean with that Heritage, but during that time I had a Electric Glide, and it would lean even more than the Heritage, but no, I ain't gonna lean that far.
Well, I quit doing that too after I had to replace. They were made, though, to break. They were intentionally, they knew people were going to lay them down that low, and they were breakable. They weren't cheap to replace, though.
You make them out of a soft cast metal, and that's how they control the breaking point with the metal, and then they chrome over that. Were yours chromed over?
Now, there's not much chrome at all on mine. It's got a few spots of chrome, but it's mostly blacked out.
During those days, I took the crash bar off of my Electric Glide, and I went through there without the crash bar. Otherwise, there ain't no way I could have leaned it over that far. I'd have been scrubbing that crash bar and flipping around.
That's what I was curious about, but I didn't say anything. I was wondering, how in the world did you do that? And the only way I could figure you would do that is you couldn't hang to the inside of the inside turns. You'd have to go on the center line of the inside turns. And you could probably do that, but I know you'd be tempted to sneak it over there to the inside.
Put that crash bar off, you'd be amazed just how far an Electric Glide would lean, because the CG on that Electric Glide is actually up higher than the Heritage.
That means you've got to be going faster when you lean it lower.
But all the weight of that heavy cruiser, that heavy bagger, you had to be moving along.
I didn't like about the Hayabusa compared to the Katana. The Katana had a lower CG, and it was lighter weight. so you could lay it down further, but the Hayabusa was heavier, and the CG is up higher.
Okay, so where do you start appreciating the Hayabusa over the Katana? Because, you know, that Katana was not near the muscle of that Hayabusa.
Yeah, well, that's where the difference pays off, like Highway 11. And Highway 11, when it stops winding up on the Katana, you're probably at 130, 140. When the Hayabusa hits 130 and 140, that's when you better hold on, because it's starting to pull away from you, pull out from under your hands.
Hayabusas were a 200-mile-an-hour bike.
I passed. Pulling on me really hard at 140 was about all I could handle.
DZW. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Hayabusas will. I know the GSXR 1000 will, and it's, you know, it's a little bit smaller bike. So I was curious as to the seating position, where your foot pegs were on the Katana, or is it more straight up and down, or is the Hayabusa further towards your rear end?
Being very much different at all. They're very, very close to the same location for front to back. But the Katana just handled better in the, like the Dragon's Tail. The Katana handled better to going through there than the Hayabusa because it's just so heavy. But you get them out on Highway 11 and the Katana didn't stand a chance.
I think I've ever accelerated on was that 1000. It's a smaller bike, you know. As far as power, it's a little bit similar, but it's very violent. I mean, your eyes won't hardly even focus. You know, that speedometer just goes blank, and it's pretty violent. Anyway, I'll jump back off to the side. I was just enjoying the conversation, guys. KN4GZW.
Jump in anytime there, bud. Now, I tell you what, the fastest bike I ever rode, Ducati 900. Jeez Louise.
And it only takes a few seconds to get there. W4DJW, that's the key. And the more you twist, the more you want to twist. That's why mine now scares me, because once I start twisting, I don't know where to stop.
And that in lies the problem why I got away from high-performance bikes. Man, I can get myself in trouble in a flash with this stupid Heritage of mine, because I got the Screaming Eagle performance packs all over it, and even at that, this thing, at my age, it's got more than I need.
Amy wants me to sell it. She wanted me to buy it, now she wants me to sell it. It's kind of like owning a boat. The two best days of owning a boat is the day you buy it and the day you sell it.
That's it, in a nutshell. Well, I have arrived at the Hacienda, and I am going to pack it in, Dave. I got to go in, get myself looking reasonably decent, and go pick up my daughter and run, son. I got to buy dinner tonight for a birthday. So, anyhow, let me know about schedule and what you think about getting your other stuff done, and we'll go out there and I'll spot some more for you. 73s, KN4, VWA. I'm clear after your final, big guy.
All right, well, let's shoot for Sunday then, because I got some other stuff, like you said, I got to get done. You got some stuff you got to do. We'll shoot for Sunday, and I think the goal there is going to be automatic takeoff and automatic landing. If I can get a flow sensor in and figure out how to configure it, and I got to figure out how to mount the pitot tube out on the wing and get it back to the fuselage in a way that I can connect it and disconnect it, taking the wing on and off. Anyway, I enjoyed it. That was a good flying session today. It's good to see Jim and Allie back out there. Hopefully we'll see Kevin and others in the future. Anyway, take care. Enjoy your evening. KM4VWA, W4DJW clear.